potential threat. It was an assignment that warmed the cockles of Ackerman's heart. He took the airship up to 300 feet and banked a turn for the canyon mouth. Once there, he swung 180 degrees and hovered. The anonymous village spread out below him was tinted in various unnatural shades of green, blue, orange, and yellow, depending on the relative intensity of radiant heat.
There goes Connors. Man, is he honking.
Ackerman's infrared sensor displayed a yellow Captain Connors driving a green ATV out of town at high speed. Like Ackerman, Connors ran without lights, relying on his battlesuit simulations to find his way through the dark. After adjusting the parameters of his visor's infrared scan, Ackerman cranked up the magnification to 10 power and zoomed in on the ground. The gyroplane's forward-looking sensor could detect temperature differentials on the soil surface of less than 1/100th of a degree. Variations that slight were meaningless without a computer search for specific patterns of difference, patterns that could be expected to be left behind when six people were running for their lives. Finding their footprints was almost too easy. Even after more than half an hour, there was enough of an elevated heat signature for the system to isolate them. Ackerman located one set of tracks and followed it until it joined three others. At the base of the cliff, the four sets of prints were joined by another two. Ackerman used the helmet-to-helmet comm link.
Connors, I have all our targets heading up the south side of the ridge, about half a mile from the canyon entrance.
Got any direct visual on them? If so, you'd better feed it to me.
Ackerman magnified his view field even further, holding the gyroplane steady as he scanned a greenish-blue landscape of craggy pinnacles. A minute or so passed.
Pedro, I got nothing. What about you?
I can't see them, but I can see the chute they climbed to reach the summit.
Yeah, I mark that too. Are you getting the video feed, Connors?
Roger that. I'll drive around to the other side of the ridge and cut off their retreat. From the map sim, it's going to take me a while, though. Maybe 15 minutes, depending on the terrain I have to cross.
No worries. In the meantime, we'll try to locate them and give you their exact bearings. I'll wait until you're in position before I make my first run.
With that, Ackerman signed off. The systems engineer tensed his lower back and his right biceps simultaneously. The gyroplane responded with a gut-wrenching 5G loop. Taken completely by surprise, his passenger could only moan. As much as Ackerman enjoyed developing the complex artificial intelligences used in military weaponry, he liked the no-limits, hands-on stuff even better. This dog loved to hunt. Under a three-quarter moon, with the airship's sensory enhancements, its complement of lethal weaponry, its speed and maneuverability, there was no doubt about it. He was Shadow World's ultimate predator. If the opportunity came his way, he had no intention of sharing the action with Connors.
Ackerman, you're killing me back here!
Toughen up, Pedro. This is the air cav.
If you make me puke inside my suit...
What a fucking grandma.
Let's just find the bastards and get the job done.
Yeah, but with style.
Ackerman gave his body a little twitch. The assault gyro juked upward as if about to pull another balls to the wall overhead 360. Ackerman didn't complete the maneuver. He didn't have to. The juke was enough to wring another highly satisfying groan out of Highlander. The mission they were on was twofold: to preemptively stop the Shadow People from making another hit on the missile, and to recover as many live subjects as possible for Highlander's tissue studies. Part of the biologist's mission was to evaluate the health danger the indigenous population presented to migrants from Earth. Five's CEOs were concerned that the natives could be carrying infectious diseases that newcomers had no defenses against. It was conceivable that in order to make Shadow World safe for colonization, military units were going to have to isolate the existing human population in internment camps, or simply exterminate them. Either way, it was a job for the air cav, Ackerman thought. In the back of the systems engineer's mind, he knew that no matter how Highlander preferred his test subjects, it was up to the men in the command seat whether the prey got captured or killed. Colonel Gebhardt and Highlander could monitor what he was doing in the air, even see what he was seeing through his visor, but they couldn't remote pilot the ship or keep him from using its laser cannons if the mood struck. Ackerman's mood at that moment was for a wipeout. A total fucking wipeout. Hanging at summit height, he turned on the airship's laser-guided microphones, which provided pinpoint audio surveillance. Within a narrow field of search, He scanned for the rattle of gear, for footfalls, for coughs. As he listened, he realized that he was holding his breath, even though that wasn't necessary. Colonel Gabhardt came over on the comlink.
Hey, Ackerman. I hope you're not contracting wood on us up there. Your blood pressure is flying higher than you are. You'd better start breathing through your nose or you're going to blow an artery.
Roger that, Colonel.
Ackerman shut down the air-to-ground comlink, let out a howl, and turned another 5G aerial somersault. After that, he had to briefly shut off his link with Highlander as well. The yelling hurt his ears. It had been a long time since Ackerman had flown in an actual combat situation, and the action he'd seen had been very limited. Most of the fighting in the Consumer Rebellion had taken place inside the megalopolises, street to street, building to building. Assault gyros couldn't operate at their full potential in the enclosed, high-density, ultra-urban environment. Shadow World, on the other hand, was made to order for them. It had wide-open spaces, no flight ceiling, no ground-to-air missiles. A bell tone sounded in his helmet, indicating the computer had completed its search pattern without scoring a hit. He opened the comlink to his passenger. Highlander had settled into a sullen silence. Ackerman shifted the gyro's position to take in a new section of ridge. The onboard computer did the rest of the work, precisely aiming the laser mic within the assigned grid. The sensor picked up a brief clatter of sliding rock. Ackerman zoomed in with the infrared on the identified area. Everything was greenish-blue. There were no halos of yellow behind the outcrops, outlines of humans in hiding. No sign of animals, either. He decided it had been a natural event, caused by the erosion of the bedrock. The bell tone chimed. Search pattern complete. Ackerman turned the airship another 10 degrees of arc and resumed the scan. Almost at once, the laser mic picked up a human voice at a decibel level that was no more than a whisper.
Oh, shit.
Famous last words.
JB felt as if he were staring down a mutey mountain lion, or grizz, as 100 yards away, a black specter hovered against the backdrop of stars. Even at that distance, its propeller blades were going whoop, whoop, whoop inside his chest. If he could see the plane, he knew it could see him. A machine like that had to have a whole lot of technology that could search out people. Since blaster fire seemed to have no effect on the craft, there was no point in wasting it. They had one hope of surviving the next few hours, and it was slim at best. What they needed was hardened shelter, someplace that would stand up to the laser cannons. But finding it in the dismal half-light with the aircraft in pursuit was going to be difficult. He turned his back to the machine.
Retreat. One file. Tight. On point.
Assuming they'd already been spotted, there was nothing to be gained by a stealthy exit. JB burst from behind the outcrop and charged full tilt, boots thudding across a stretch of open ground. He ducked between the ridge's tall spires and kept on going. At his back, he heard the grunts and curses from the others as they fought to keep up. Despite their best effort, they were slow-moving targets, and their escape route was entirely predictable, dictated by the impassable spires of rock. Over the sounds of their desperate retreat, JB could hear and feel the propeller's insistent beat. The aircraft hung behind and above him, watching, waiting, perhaps fine-tuning its elevation and angle to take the perfect chill shot. JB expected to die before he reached the top of the chute on the other side of the ridge. No shot came. He paused for breath at the drop-off. Over his shoulder, he saw that the aircraft hadn't advanced. The pilot was toying with them. On the plane in the distance below, moonlight turned Mudlake silver, and clouds of steam rose into the night sky, carrying with them the smell of hot sulfur. JB looked over the edge. Thanks to the dim light, the drop didn't seem so bad. Of course, it didn't matter how it looked. They had to make the jump anyway. Suddenly, the sound of the aircraft changed. When the armorer looked back, it was no longer there. The prop noise faded as the now invisible ship swung away from them, circling and then crossing the ridge to the west. Once the aircraft cleared the ridge, it arced back in their direction. More head games, JB thought.
He's going to nail us when we're in the chute. We've got to hit the ground running.
JB screwed his hat as far down on his head as it would go, then hurled himself over the edge. As he flailed his legs to keep his balance, the wind rushed up at his face, ripping at his glasses, screaming past his ears. He hit the ground all right,